Amen, amen, and amen. Just bow our heads for a brief minute. Lord, thank you, and we bless you, Lord, for just the sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place, Lord. Thank you for just another opportunity to fellowship with like-minded believers and men and women of faith, Lord. We love you. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for South Bay Abundant Life Church, for us not being members but being family. Thank you for the smiles, the greetings, the hellos, Lord, for truly this moment is all that we have. And we thank you for this moment with our family, South Bay Abundant Life Church. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate here in 2017 through a dark, dying, decaying, falling, deceptive world. We need your word more today than we did yesterday. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in 2017, just like we did in 2016. So we bless you. Speak to us through your word. We ask it now. We're open to receive it, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to John 15, verse 1. St. John 15 and verse 1. As we're looking at John 15, 1, we realize and make a note that it's sort of like Christ's last will and testament. It's the day before he's arrested and crucified. Having this conversation with his disciples. And if you and I just think, what conversation would you have with 12 of your best friends the night before you know that you would be dying? What kind of conversation would you have? What would be the main topic? What would be the focus of the discussion? Jesus is trying his best, and we know that John is writing to show that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So he's writing specifically to make that point known. So we pick it up in chapter 15 and verse 1, and Jesus says, I am the true, underlying true. Jesus said, I am the real deal. It's a lot of counterfeits out there, people. We've talked about it before. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. When you looked up the word true, it means he's truthful and he's sincere. In the Greek, it also gave the opposite. The opposite of truth, according to Christ, when he was speaking, what he was trying to get them to understand is, I'm not fictitious. I'm not counterfeit. I'm not imaginary. I'm not simulated. I'm not pretend. I am the true vine. Those are the specific words it used. Fictitious. Counterfeit. Imaginary. Jesus is not a figment of someone's imagination. I've heard people tell me that. Oh, that's just a figment of your imagination. It's not real. Something made up. He's not fictitious. He's not counterfeit. He's not imaginary. He's not simulated. It's not something that looks like it could be happening, but it's not really there. He said he's not the pretender. Jesus is not the pretender. Jesus is the real deal. And he said God is the vine dresser. God is the husbandman. God is the master of the house. So we have Jesus, the real deal, and God being the master. Make a note that in 2017, we have to be connected to the true vine. Be careful who you're connected with in 2017. If I were to ask you, what are you connected to? What's your motivation? Would it be Jesus Christ being a true vine? What are you and I, what are we truly connected to? Another way to put it, let me see, I wrote it down. Where did I write it at? Oh, okay, what... Here's another way to put it. What is the root of your connection? What are we connected in? What is the root of our connection? What do we really get up for? What really motivates us? Where do we get our strength from? Where do we get our courage from? Where do we get our orders from? Is it through Jesus Christ or is it something else? Something to evaluate in 2017. What a way to start the year off right by being connected to the true vine. Jesus had shared with him in John 6, he said, I'm the bread of life. So here he is, he's saying he's the bread of life. Now he's saying he's a true vine, and we know that wine comes from grapes, which come from a grapevine. Jesus is the bread and the wine. We take communion. Jesus is trying to let them know that I'm God. So I said, do this in remembrance of me, of the bread and the wine, because I'm the bread and the wine. I remember growing up, we had a grapevine. Anybody else have a grapevine in their backyard? Sister Hazel, amen. I hope y'all did better than we did, because we could never get any grapes from that thing. Our grapevine, it was all over the back wall, but we couldn't get our apricot tree, yes. Peach tree, yes. Plum tree every now and then. Remember I said we used to call them plumograms, but we had a pomegranate tree too. But we thought they were plumograms, all right. And the grapevine, we could never get anything from the grapevine. But Jesus said, he is the vine and we are the branches. You cannot get any fruit from a branch that's not connected to the root. All right, let me say that again. Because in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, or he cleans it up. He gets rid of the filthiness that it might bring forth more fruit. So we are the branches, he's the vine. A branch cannot live on its own, disconnected from the tree. A tree cannot live disconnected from the root. You cannot bear fruit if you're not connected to the tree, to the root. It just doesn't happen. I've never seen a switch. Let me put it that way. The switch, right? We're familiar with a switch. Too familiar with that switch. Amen. We it was either the belt or the switch or the Hot Wheel track. When we got in trouble, it was the belt, it was the switch or the Hot Wheel track. Some people say they had extension cords. No, thank God, Mom and Dad, we didn't believe in no extension cords. It's a whole nother level of getting your butt beat. But my mom was a beautician, so she would braid the switches. So that threefold cord is not easily broken. Somebody say amen. But I tell you, you have an encounter with that switch. It really got your attention. It'll get you into shape. It really will. It changed things. Hey, I don't know. I mean, you know, I talk about it because back then they talk about ADD. All right. Actually, in my house, we had DAD. All right. And when you have an encounter, when Dad told you to sit down, you might be fooling around. And remember, it was 8 of us, 6 boys and 2 girls. You might be fooling around and all that. But when you got that switch and he said, sit there, you didn't move again. You just didn't. He got ADD. He can't control himself. OK. All right. You get it with that switch. You sit down. You're not getting up. That switch changed some things. That switch changed some things, boy, I tell you. A couple encounters with that switch, I understood. They say sit down, they mean sit down. They say be quiet because grown folks talking, you're going to be quiet. Don't come out your room right now, you're going to stay in that room. Ain't nothing on TV, I can't find that dude. You might come once, amen? So that's my soliloquy on the switch. It brought back memories as I was studying this, as you can see. But Jesus, if we were the switch, because we are the branch, then Jesus' arm is the controls the switch, and it calls us out to be salt, to be light, and to be love. So if we're the switch or we're the branch, then the arm of it is Christ. The body of it we know is God, and the master of it all is God, and we're to be controlled by God and Christ only, and connected to them to bear fruit, to produce fruit, to make disciples, to build the kingdom. Anything else, what are we doing? Let me make a note of this. Every encounter that you and I have with someone, the motivation, the intention of it is to bear fruit.
Amen.
Godly fruit. It says, what, verse 2? Take me to verse 2, Natalie. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So we can be in Christ. So I guess this is the difference between being saved and surrendered. You can be saved, but are you surrendered so that you can bear fruit? It's saying we could be in Christ and not bear fruit. He said, God's going to take you away. I tried to look that up. I tried to make it nice. I tried to dress up, but there ain't no nice way of saying God's going to take us away if we're not bearing fruit. Because God doesn't need any dead branches. God can't use any dead wood. So if you're not bearing fruit, what are you doing here? I'm going to take you. I tried to look up, take you away, to make it seem like it was something nice. I did get a little niceness out of it, but it was really hard. What it say to take away? It means to kind of meant like to kind of elevate, or kind of meant to get rid of. You determine what you want it to mean. OK, in the Greek, it means that you can elevate something. So God is going to try and elevate you to bear fruit, or God's just going to get rid of you. That's what that meant. I told you it was no nice way to kind of say it. But he says, in every branch that bears fruit, he has to purge it. It means he has to clean it of its filthiness. That's what the purge meant. Not the movie, but to purge it means to clean it of filthiness, that it might produce more fruit. So you and I, we're going through stuff already in 2017. God is saying, I'm just molding you. I'm the potter. You're the clay. I'm just shaping you. I'm getting rid of some stuff. Some stuff you had in 2016, you can't take with you into 2017. So I got to get rid of it so you can produce more fruit. Stop pushing against the purge. We're trying to fight against it. God, I need to keep this. God said, I'm trying to have you to bear fruit. You're trying to take the nouns. Okay, let's try English. We're good in English. We're not good in math. Nouns. Where my youth at? Any youth in here? What is a noun? Person, place, or thing. God's saying, you're trying to take some people, some still trying to go places and take some things into 2017 that I'm trying to get rid of because you had them for too long in 2016. God said, get rid of the nouns for 2017. I got to cut them out so that you can produce and bear fruit. No is right, but God is saying yes. He says to purge, to cleanse of filth and impurity. Sometimes we're not even aware of what God's trying to purge from us, and sometimes we're just in denial. That God, you know, it's not that bad, God. It's not a God, it's okay. God says, I need to cut it out. God is saying, you're taking some things into 2017 that are not necessary. God desires for you and I that we bear more fruit, that we produce more fruit for Christ. And to put it plainly, that should be our desire as well. What is our desire? Is our desire really to produce more fruit for Christ? God saying the purge, the word says to disconnect from useless people, places, and things. Use the word useless. Some stuff, there's just no more use for them in your life. Verse 2 says you got to cut them out. God has to purge them so he doesn't have to take you away. Bring forth fruit. Verse 3 says, now you are clean. Amen. That's good. That's good news. Amen. Here's Jesus telling them that you're clean, not because of what we do or what they did, but because of what God has done. Make a note in John 3:3, Jesus already told them that they must be born again. In John 3:16, it tells them how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this isn't a foreign concept to them. Jesus is saying you're already clean. Verse 3:17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's told them, you've already been clean. How are they clean? Through the word which I've spoken. We're clean through the word of God. He told him in the beginning was the word, the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So he's saying the word has made you clean. Jesus has made you and I clean. It's not what you and I can do. We couldn't work for this. He said, you're clean. And I have to admit, sometimes you feel inadequate. Sometimes you feel, God, how could you use me to talk to somebody? You don't even know what I did last night. God said, it's not about you. The word has made you clean. Amen. Stuff don't make you clean. So I don't want to get out and teach or talk to anybody on my job because of how I'm living. God said, it's not about you. The word has made you clean. We all feel inadequate. Nobody's worthy. If we got brownie points to do things, to be a preacher or to be a minister or to be a musician for God, based upon what we did, let me tell you something you should already know. Nobody would make it. Everybody would be disqualified. Amen. Nobody could make it. It's not based upon what you and I do. It's based upon what God has done. Now, once we are saved, see, then we get to verse 4. Now that we are saved, he said, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. He said, now that you're saved, you got to stay connected to God. Make a note, those of you that take notes, stay connected to God in 2017. That's what he's saying. You are saved, now stay connected. Don't get distracted by all the counterfeit that's out there. See, there's a lot of good things, but there is not a lot of God things. Everything that you and I connect ourselves is not bearing godly fruit. He's saying get connected to things that are going to bear godly fruit. Amen. Stay connected to God so you can bear godly fruit. And then everything you and I do, it has to be with the intent that's going to lead someone to Christ or help someone rededicate their life. Let me say that again. Every encounter that I have with someone, whether it's our youth at school, whether it's on your job, whether it's at the gym, whether it's at the store, every encounter to bear fruit, to produce fruit, every encounter that you and I get involved in, the intent, the motive, the motivation behind the intent, behind the motive, to the intent should be, I'm going to find a way to introduce this person to Jesus Christ. I'm going to find a way to help them rededicate their life to Christ. There you go. That's how we bear fruit. The guys I play ball with at the gym, I'm always trying to see how I can introduce them to Christ or water that seed that's already in them. That's the intent. Youth at school. How can I introduce them to Jesus Christ? Or that coworker that you hate. See, we got the wrong perspective. That coworker that you just can't stand. I hope they die and go to hell. No, that's not bearing fruit. Let them go. God, let them go. I could care less. See, that's not. No. Every encounter, every intent has to bear godly fruit. Other than that, we just out doing stuff just to be doing stuff. I know that's a tough one because the world has turned it upside down where we're out and we got to make money. We got to get promoted. We got to increase our business. And all those are good things. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying stay connected to Christ. So, you know, behind all that, I got to introduce somebody to Christ. Because if I truly care and love them, they're going to die and go to hell. And it's happening to people every day. Just watch the news. People in the airport. and somebody comes in shooting. Trust me, those four or five people that got killed in there, they didn't plan on that. They plan on taking a trip. And malls and any place doesn't even matter now. And people, we're not planning on that. But then it happens and someone's going into a Christless eternity. And God said, I've called you to bear fruit. So every encounter, hear what I'm saying in 2017. And I'm talking to myself too. Every encounter, it has to be, God, how can I introduce them to Christ? Water that seed that's in them, because we know that God gives increase. We don't save anyone. Amen. You're not out to save. You don't have to save anyone. Just share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them when you have the opportunity. It's not my job. It's not your job to save anyone. That's God's job. That's why we're connected to the tree that's connected to the root. Just let God use us so that we can bear fruit. Look at what it says in, let me finish verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't do this alone. Amen? Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye accept. Can ye accept you abide in me? So God is saying you cannot produce godly fruit apart from God. We can produce good fruit, but not godly fruit. There's some good things that we do, and there's just some good people in the world, and there's just some good things that happen. But it's not godly. It doesn't lead to eternal life, which is what this whole world is about. Atonement for sins. You have people who go through their life with doing good, good intentions, and wind up in hell. Because they had no atonement for their sins. We talked about it last time. It showed us in the book of Isaiah that our works, the best we can do when I'm helping old ladies across the street and feeding the poor and the hungry, disconnected from God, the best I could do when I present it to God, it looks like a diaper. And not just a diaper, a filthy boo-boo diaper. All right, let's break it down. I had to say it just so you get the image. And we've all had kids. How many of you have kids? How many never seen a kid? All right, there you go. When you change that diaper, all right, when you change that diaper, and remember, it's not just a regular diaper. It's when they're like, when the young ladies, the girls, are before they get potty trained, about 2, the boys, when they're about 6, when they finally get potty trained, except for you, little man, you was way ahead of the game, man. You was like, what, like 1 and a half? You, little man, you was way ahead of the game. Anyway, but it's right before that diaper. When they're eating that table food and before they get potty trained, and you get that diaper and go, and God said, that's all you can give me. Disconnected from the branch. That's all we can do. Disconnected from the root and from Christ being the tree as the branch. That's the best we can do. Says we can. I wrote some things that said, read this. Says we cannot bear fruit apart from God. We all are bearing some type of fruit. Good, bad. Don't fool yourself. You are bearing some type of fruit. You cannot bear good, godly fruit apart from God. The nourishment for the fruit comes from the vine. Even as a pastor, I can't pastor being disconnected from God. How can I nourish and feed the flock if I'm disconnected from God? That's when self gets in the way. That's when stuff gets in the way and you start taking scriptures out of context and it becomes about you and not about the word of God and about serving God's people. The nourishment comes from God. Men, we can't even love our wives, our families. We can't, like I said, that unsaved coworker, we can't do it apart from God. It doesn't happen. We can't do it God's way apart from God. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And you say, well, pastor, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. It doesn't matter what they've said to you. It doesn't matter how they treated you. See, because this type of, we have to get away from that convenient Christianity where I can only love people that love me. Not only do good and say praise the Lord when I have good things going on. We got to get away from that stuff. You have to be able to stand strong where the crowd that just said, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord, the same crowd that says crucify. And that's the same crowd that's beating you. And that's the same crowd that's putting that crown of thorns on your head. And the same ones that spit on you and slap you. And then you got to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why? Because you're connected to the root.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the only way we can do it. It's the only way that we can love our wives the way Christ loved the church. That's the only way, wives, that you can respect your husband, because you're connected to the root, because you know that joker is always tripping. Amen. You already know that, wives. Amen. And if you get away from the root and the connection, then you're in trouble. Not you, John, but the other jokers out there. You're just a joker, John, all right? But for us to love our kids and for our youth to be obedient to the parents, if you get disconnected from the root, you cannot obey your parents. Right. You cannot. Because it's going to be about you. And they don't understand you. And my parents are always tripping. Although I'm only 15, I know more than they know already. It's amazing how parents can... what one kid said, my parents didn't know anything when I was 12, but when I got like 25, I just realized how smart they were. They knew everything. I had to come to them for everything. It's just amazing how smart parents get between those years. But if we're disconnected from the root, then we can't do it. Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do nothing. You cannot bear any godly fruit separated from God. And when it gets tough, you still got to say, God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You still have to be able to say that. Because I'm connected to the root. I can say that and I can mean it. That's why Jesus said you got to pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. How? Because you're connected to the root. You can't do it not connected to the root. You're going to be fighting. Somebody going to get hurt. We're going to move some furniture. We're going to tear the house down. Got to stay connected to the root. Let me read verse 5 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, underline much fruit. And then make sure you underline, from without me you can do nothing. 2017, you got to stop trying to do it without God. It's just going to be an exercise in frustration and disappointment. We're trying to do everything without being connected to the root. Got to stay connected. Pastor, how do you stay connected? You stay connected because you're studying every day. That's why we're reading Proverbs every day. That's why we're praying every day. That's why we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, so we can stay connected. That's why we fellowship with like-minded believers, so I can call Pastor Manny during the week. I can call Brother John during the week. I can call Brother Clarence and Tommy and Brother Bruce. I can call them. Hey, man, I'm thinking about this. I need to stay connected. I'm feeling like I'm going to do something stupid. Dude, you need to stay connected. You got to stay connected to people that are connected and going to encourage you to stay connected. That's how you stay connected. The easiest time to be connected is on Sunday mornings between 9 and 10:30. Praise the Lord. Got my suit on today and I'm feeling good. I think I'm going to make it. That's the easiest hour and a half to stay connected. But when you get outside these doors, the world is going to try its best to disconnect you from the root. The world is going to try its best to make you forget everything godly and do something ungodly. And respond ungodly. Verse 5 is also asking us, how long will you and I continue to waste time with disconnected people and ungodly stuff and things? We spend a lot of time with stuff that's not connected to the root. And what do we get for it? Nothing. Verse 6. Now I'm starting to wind down. If a man abide, and that man means mankind, so it refers to men and women. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I was trying to dress this one up real nice and pretty. I told you that God cannot use any dead wood. So if a man abide not in me, so is this talking about salvation? Is this talking about, so this isn't necessarily saying those that are saved, not like in verse, not like in verse 2. This is saying if a person doesn't abide in me at all, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, gathered them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So as I was looking up the words and during the, you know, just exegeting the text, it did have a heaven and hell feel to it. Took us to Revelation that whosoever name wasn't written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That same word was used that's here. So this is talking about if you're not connected to God, if you have no atonement for your sins, then you will spend a Christless eternity in the lake of fire, which, by the way, was not created for you and I. But if we reject Christ and don't accept Christ, then there's no other place for us to go. And yes, there is life after death. Either heaven with God or hell apart from God. But there is life after death. And you're not coming back as a bird or a dog or a cat to try and get it right and all that kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. Jesus is making as plain as he can before he transitions from life to death and then back to life. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Make a note of that. Let me tell you what it's not saying. It's not saying that you just ask God for anything. God, I need a new house. God, I need a car. That's when you start taking stuff out of context. It's not what it's saying at all. It's saying if you're connected to the branch and my words are connected in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It shall be done for you. Let me tell you how that works. See, when you're in Christ, when you and I, when we're in Christ, we start desiring the things of God. We don't desire, I got to read this, so I'm going to read it. We don't desire more stuff. We desire the heart of God. So here we go. So I'm asking, what do I want now? So I'm praying, God, I want my family to be saved. God said, that's what I want to do. I'm praying for that coworker to get saved, to get delivered. God said, I want that too. As a man, I'm praying to God I could love my wife like Christ loved the church. God said, I want that too. Ladies and wives are praying, I want to respect my husband and honor him like God tells me. God said, I want that too. Youth are praying, God, I got to line my life up and I got to start obeying my parents and listening to them and respect them. God said, I want that too. Amen. All the parents said. And then you're praying, you and I were praying for, Lord, I want my life to be in godly order, not just in order. I want my life to be not in world order. Lord, I want my life to be in godly order. God says, I want that too. Amen. See, when you get inside Christ, your desires change. You don't start praying for stuff. You start praying for what God wants. And God says, I want that too. I'm going to do it. I'm not praying for no house and no car stuff we're going to leave behind. Stuff we don't even want to use for the glory of God just so we could show off. And you all know I like to show off. I have no problem with a house and a car and, you know, all that. Hey, by the way, did I mention that? It was in the bulletin. Let me see. Hey, my birthday is next week. All right. Okay. So, hey, don't get me. I have nothing against that. It's just when stuff has you. and you don't understand what the heart of God is. The best thing someone could give that gives me more joy, it should give you, is someone coming to Christ, getting saved, rededicating their life, getting delivered off of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and all. Somebody getting delivered and giving their life to Christ and then going out and helping somebody else out. That's what it's really about. That's what he's saying in verse 7. When we're walking with God, we're connected to the tree, we're connected to the root, we're connected to the God, the master. He said, you start asking for stuff because you're asking for people to get saved and delivered and set free. God said, I'm going to do that. That's why we spend time in the morning, each morning, for the last three years, going on 4 years, praying and fasting. Before I eat, I'm praying and fasting. I'm calling on God for these things like this. And God says, I want to do that. That's how we stay connected to the root. So verse eight, let me finish here. And then we'll just have to catch up the next. We'll finish the next, catch up on the other half next week. Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified. So make a note. Here's the paraphrase. How to put a smile on God's face. How do you put a smile on God's face? That you bear much fruit. That you stay connected to the root. You stay connected to God. And then you go out and you produce and you share the good news of the gospel. Someone hears it. Someone gets saved, delivered, set free. Someone gets that much closer to God. See, that's how you put a smile on God's face. And then the second half of that scripture says, so shall you be my disciples. That's how you know when you're working for God. So you go through life day to day and you try and figure out, God, am I connected to you? God, am I working for you? Then you just look, have I shared Christ with anyone? Is my life reflecting anything godly? Is my conversation, is my thoughts, is it reflecting anything godly? And we all know we get thoughts, we get crazy thoughts, we get good thoughts, bad stuff comes and goes. But you cast that stuff down and you get back focused on God. You stay close to God. You don't act on those crazy thoughts. Can't stop the thoughts from coming because the devil going to make sure you see something. Something happens. He's going to put the thought there. He's the one that influence us to think crazy, but you don't act on them. If when you're connected to the root, you don't act on those things. You cast them down according to the word. You put all those thoughts under subjection. But he says, verse 8, let me finish here because I got so much more to say, but we got to wait till next week. But here's how we put the smile on God's face. That we make sure that we're sharing the good news of the gospel. Every encounter that we have with someone, hear me now, every encounter we have, how can I introduce them to Christ? Maybe for them to get saved. How can I introduce them to Christ? Maybe to water that seed so they can rededicate their life. And that's how we're bearing much fruit. And then God says, when we do that, that's when we prove that we're the followers of Jesus Christ. And the rest we will pick up next week. Let's close out in prayer. Let's give someone an opportunity. Get connected this morning. Ain't that something? If you would, just bow your heads. And here's God saying for someone this morning to get connected or get reconnected to Christ. It's not to put anybody on the spot. Remember, Jesus said he's the true vine. He's not an imposter. He's not imaginary. He's not fictitious. He's not a pretender. He's not counterfeit. Our message last week, we talked about how Jesus Christ split time in half. And that's how it's 2017. Most people don't even realize why where 2017 comes from. That's why Jesus said, I'm the real deal. I split time in half. A lot of good people died, but nobody split time in half. Nobody stayed on the earth 40 days after they were resurrected and told us how to get to the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I'm the real deal. And here we are 2017 years later, and Jesus is telling someone, I want to connect with you. I want you to connect with me. I don't want you just out in the world flapping in the wind, going nowhere, wasting your time. Jesus said, get connected to me so your life can bear fruit, so you can have a productive life. Get connected to Christ so you don't have to ask, what is my purpose in life? You might have to ask God, what is my method to reach others? But you know your purpose is to bear fruit, to make disciples, to share Jesus Christ. You have a purpose in life. Stop chasing your tail. Stop spinning your wheels. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I am not connected to the root. I am not connected to the tree. I'm just a branch, disconnected. But this morning, I want to get rescued. I want to get connected to Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ. I've been saved, but I've been disconnected. I've been disconnected for a while now, and I need to get reconnected. I need to rededicate my life right now to Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. If you want to get reconnected, you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. I've visited other places. I've been visiting here, but I never made it official. If that's you, elevate your hand. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to be your family. We're not just members, but we are family here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Lord, how we thank you, how we love you, how we bless you. How you're challenging us not to just be business as usual, not to get caught up in the orderly system of deception called the world, but to disconnect from that and get connected to you, that our lives would bear fruit and we'd build the kingdom. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. We don't want to be the same in 2017 as we were in 2016. We don't want 2017 to be an extension of 2016, Lord. We want to live on purpose. We want to bear much fruit. Prune us, cut stuff off, cut it back so we can look more like you, Lord. That's our prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two quick things before we dismiss. Men, make a note of it. We're here this Saturday coming up, the 14th, 8 a.m. That's how you stay connected. One way to stay connected, men, is through the men's fellowship, men's Bible study by our own Pastor Manny. You don't want to miss it. It is so powerful. So 8 a.m. that Saturday morning. And then board members, if I can see you for like 5, 6, 7 minutes, you know we don't have any quick meetings. But anyway, board members, we could meet in the conference room just for a few minutes. I need to see you because we didn't get a chance to meet last month. So I just want to check in with you all. And Kathy, the ladies aren't meeting this Saturday. And that's a long story, which I don't even know, but you're just not meeting. That's okay. You tell me later. That's right. Okay. Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Tell them how good it was to fellowship with them. And you are dismissed.